What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Born Over News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you, we get into it. Let's do it.
No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done.
Okay, people, so we got a few stories as always on the agenda. A couple of stories that we missed that came out just as we was releasing the last episode of For Never News. So we're going to touch up on those. We ain't going to waste any time right here. Y'all already know. Y'all want to listen to For Never News episodes drop earlier than they hit YouTube. Then definitely go to all podcast streaming services, wherever you get your podcasts from. Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, wherever. There's links in the description below. You want to just go there and search it up. For Never News, we are on there. Doing very well. Again, big thank you to everybody that listens over there. It's pretty big, awesome stuff, but let's jump straight into the episode, baby. Let's do it. Okay, people, so it was a few days ago where it was announced that One Piece was getting a new film. We kind of already knew for the most part, and there was a lot of suspicions because there was some trademarks that was made on certain names and stuff like that. But we knew a One Piece film was coming. We just didn't know anything about it and when it would come or anything like that. We just knew that something was in the works. Also, it's been, at least 2 years now since the last One Piece film, One Piece Stampede. So again, it was approaching that time for the next installment in the One Piece film franchise to make its way through. However, last week we got the announcement, and when I made the video, there wasn't any details. It was like a note, but it wasn't translated yet. So I'm going to talk about the translated note from Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece. Also, some of the details we got of the film so far. And there was even, I believe, a little teaser trailer that gave us a full-blown demonstration of what to expect with this film. But for starters, it said, Eiichiro Oda's message for One Piece film read, I am tired of drawing legendary old grandpas in movies. Okay, I want to stop you right there, Oda, because just because you want to call them legendary old grandpas, like if that's not cool, grandpas in anime in general are always awesome, and all of the villains minus maybe Tesoro from Film Gold, I wasn't a big fan of his, but I mean, come on, fam, we really gonna do this right now? Do not downplay the legendary Zetto from Film Z, okay? Bullet was pretty freaking dope, even though shit got a little wonky towards the end. Shiki was freaking crazy. Like, those legendary grandpas is some of the things that add on to the glorious legend of One Piece. I just gotta stop you right there, Oda. Like, please don't downplay your masterpiece for anybody or to promote any upcoming works, because those legendary grandpas are freaking awesome. Let's continue. I want to draw a new little female character. That's the character I want to make now, and that's how it started. I can already see certain sections of the fandom. A little female, that's gonna be the big take of this movie. What's going on here? I thought it was Shanks. Relax, it is still Shanks. Maybe it's like Shanks's daughter or something. Whoa, calling it Shanks's daughter or niece or somebody related to Shanks. He also said, doesn't that sound like the opposite of One Piece? It does. Also, did you know that Goro Taniguchi, director of the film, was the first ever person in the world to animate Luffy? Well, we have a lot more upcoming news that will shock you. This is the new movie, Red. I hope you really look forward to it and try to imagine how it will be. Then we got a little teaser trailer that showcased, you know, just in a narrator speaking, a little letter. And then at the end of it, it was a picture of Shanks, which 100% confirms that the D that was scratched out, I want to say it was the letter D in the One Piece film, Red, was actually Shanks' eye. And then we even have, I want to say, a little promo poster of like some girl in all red. And it says, an almighty voice with fiery red locks, One Piece film Red. And she looks like she has like a headset on. I don't know if she's a gamer of sorts, but yeah, I'm guessing that that's going to be the big person that's going to be like the main villain of all of this. And it would be sick if it was like Shanks had a daughter that he kind of left behind, a la how, like, you know, he left, I guess, Luffy out there with the hat and whatnot. Maybe he had a daughter, she's a big, I don't know, a gamer or something now, and she finally wants to go after her father because of X, Y, and Z. Maybe the manga will advance to a certain point that will kind of align with with whatever's happening, because again, the film, in case you don't know, August 6th, 2022, so maybe that's where they're gonna go with it. I ain't gonna lie, it's gonna be interesting to see how Oda handles this, because he doesn't really do like a little girl that's the big villain of all of this shit. Again, like he said opening up, he does old legendary grandpas that I have no problem with. I love those old legendary grandpas. I gotta throw that in yet again. Yeah, those grandpas be awesome. But yeah, it seems as though maybe this girl is going to be the big villain with these fiery red locks, and if Shanks is also going to be a staple of it, that's my best guess of what's to come. It's like Shanks' daughter, Shanks' relative, or somebody that's just like a big, massive fangirl of Shanks. Also, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I do think that we're not going to have Luffy and Shanks cross over and see each other. It'll probably be that maybe they're on the same island. Maybe it's a massive island, or they're confined wherever they're at. They're going to cross paths without actually crossing paths, in terms of like they might just barely miss each other. Think like, I don't freaking know, Harry Potter, when him and his father, Harry and his father, like crossed each other and didn't see each other. Something like that is what I'm imagining. So they'll still be a part of it, because at the end of the day, as cool as it would be, as on board a lot of One Piece fans would be of like, hey, let's just get Shanks and his crew for the whole film, they're not gonna let that happen. We're gonna see Luffy and all of them, which, not that I don't want to see Luffy, I just would love more Shanks, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I want to know you guys' thoughts, you guys' take. What do you think is going to be regarding this girl with the fiery red locks? Is that Shanks' daughter, cousin, niece? How do you think that's going to play out? What do you think Shanks' role is going to be in all of this? Do you think he's going to be the big villain? That would be crazy, and I don't see it happening at all. I don't see Oda sacrificing his life's work, a big plot thread regarding, you know, Shanks, one of the first characters you see in the entirety of the manga, for a film. Again, I think it's going to be somebody related to Shanks, and that's how Shanks is going to be in the film. Maybe that'll also be why she hunts down Luffy. Like, why did you give him your hat, the straw hat from Goldie Roger, and not me? I'm your child. I'm your niece. Possibility. Or it could just be she has the same role as Luffy, just like somebody that looked up to him, like he was the OG and he didn't entrust her with the hat. But yeah, that's what we know so far, and I am very, very excited for this film. One Piece Film Red, August 6th, 2022. And while we're on the topic of some of that One Piece greatness, something huge happened over this past weekend. In case you don't know, One Piece episode 1000, it reached a monumental moment. I made a video about it. Definitely go check that out, because it was very nostalgic for people that have, you know, known of Forever World, the anime guy that talks about all sorts of anime. In particular, One Piece is one of those anime and manga. Yeah, it was a nice trip down memory lane, but that's not what I wanted to say about the big news, although again, pretty cool video and awesome time I had that Saturday. I won't deny that, but something big happened with One Piece. It joined the likes of Dragon Ball Super and Attack on Titan as the third anime in history to be such a big, grandioso deal that it actually crashed Crunchyroll with the amount, the volume of people trying to watch the episode for the big monumental celebration of sorts. And yeah, that's a very big deal, because as hype as some of the stuff, and it's not to slight it, because yeah, I know I talk about it all the time, love it, all that jazz, but as hype as 2021's Boruto was, as hype as Jujutsu Kaisen was, as hype as a lot of things were, they didn't do what these three Goliaths done. Even Naruto Shippuden never did something like that. So very, very big congrats to One Piece right here. It just says, One Piece joins Attack on Titan and Dragon Ball Super as the only anime that broke multiple streaming site servers, including Crunchyroll, etc. Because I believe it also broke like some pirating sites as well, which is crazy. Like, even the pirates couldn't keep up with the pirate show. Whoa, how down the rabbit hole we go. So yeah, just wanted to give another nod to One Piece, because now we're past the big 1000 celebrations. We passed the 1000th chapter of the manga, 1000th episode of the anime. Let's just keep on cruising towards the climax. Moving forward, just a small story about a series that I don't really cover here, but I felt it was big enough news because the anime is airing in this season and a lot of people have been talking about it. Apparently, Kome-san wa Komusho, aka Komi Can't Communicate, by Oda, a different type of Oda, Tomohito, is reaching its final story phase in Weekly Shonen Sunday, issue 1, 2022, out December 1st, 2021, according to a reliable Weibo user, meaning that if it's reaching its final story phase, it's probably going to end soon. And this is definitely the new age. And what I mean by that is I'm starting to see this not only with big shonen, little series like this, where once a story gets its anime adaptation and it reaches that peak of popularity, rather than continue to quote-unquote milk it with season after season, season, it seems that they're going more for a quick bang and maybe afterthoughts of like, hey, we could market the shit out of, you know, how much people love that first season or that first big bang, opposed to, hey, let's get a season two, a season three, a season four. Let's get 200, 300, 400 episodes. It seems like that's the new motto moving forward in the anime and manga industry. I guess maybe something like what happened with Demon Slayer, how Demon Slayer exploded. I know I reference Demon Slayer a lot with big moments in the anime industry because Demon Slayer changed the anime industry. I know it sucks to hear. Some people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Demon Slayer changed the anime industry, the motto of how things go. Demon Slayer ended its manga before its peak even. Like, it still went on to peak even further while the original manga ended. So they're probably looking at it as, well, it looked like it helped to end the story at its grand heights. And if they decide to do sequels down the road, it will probably be a success and more of a success than doing season 1, 2, 3, 4, continuing on and on and on. That's probably also why a lot of people feel My Hero Academia looks like it's speeding towards its conclusion, because My Hero came out just before this big new era and big new wave of ending things early. And it's already, what, 5 seasons deep going into season 6. So yeah, Komi Can't Communicate entering its final story phase, but that's also, again, very telling for the anime manga industry as a whole of the new wave of, again, that long running stuff is over. That long running stuff, once One Piece ends, it is over. And if I, you know, eat my words, then so be it. But it doesn't look like they're trying to do the long running thing at all anymore. Maybe you get 4 seasons, something like that, max. Like Jujutsu Kaisen, I could see maybe getting like 4 seasons max, and that's just because right now it's one of the flagship titles, one of the best selling titles. I believe it is the best-selling title in Shonen Jump that is active right now. And Demon Slayer, you know, obviously it ended. It's like right around there. But yeah, Komi-san entering its final phase, and the anime manga industry shows yet again that it is forever changing. Moving forward a little bit late, because these are stemming from last week's, but we didn't get to talk about it, the top 50 best-selling manga of the week. So from 50 to 41, okay, some familiar faces. Detective Conan Volume 100 still hanging in there, 13,500 this week, bringing its total to 445,000, almost 500,000. Not bad at all, considering it's, you know, since 96, fam, crazy stuff. Then wrapping the 50 to 41 with Spy X Family Special Edition of Volume 8 with 14,000. That's crazy when a special edition, you know, they only bring out special editions anyway if something is popping. So dope stuff for Spy X Family. Gonna be one of the hugest things once that anime drop. Then we got places 40 through 31. Tokyo Revengers 23 still hanging in there. A little over 1 million now at this point. We got that Dragon Quest, Dai no Daiboken, Yusha Avan to Gokuin no Mao, Volume 3. Again, I would be really fine with them doing more Dragon Quest. I'm like far from being caught up, but I'm enjoying what I'm watching so far. And all I keep hearing is that it has just been fire all the way through. So I'm cool with more Dragon Quest after that ends, because I know I'm going to eventually marathon every episode from where I'm at right now and love the living crap out of it. And if they're doing an Avon prequel, Avon's story sounds a lot more darker than what is going on even right now in the current story, even though this is all based on like an old story from years ago. But yeah, dope stuff there. And then that wraps up pretty much 40 through 31. Then 30 through 21. For starters, 30, Tomodachi Game, Volume 19. In 6 days, 19,400. I feel like, because they just announced an anime for that, if that anime does well, this shit is going to blow, because like a lot of people are saying like, hey, we're in the Squid Game era, it's a survival game type of story, it's going to blow. So I could see these numbers being 190,000 first week, opposed to 19,000 6 days after that anime comes out, if it pops. If it has high quality art and animation, no doubt in my mind, it's going to go on to do big things. We talked about The Elusive Samurai in the last episode. Like I said, these numbers are a little bit late, 21,000 this week. UQ Holder 27. I thought UQ Holder was over. Is this like an old volume or something? Or maybe I'm just tripping. I ain't been paying attention. But yeah, UQ Holder Volume 27, 23,060 this week. I could have sworn that shit was over. Wow. I'm a little out of the loop when it comes to UQ Holder, fam. And then wrapping things up at number 21 between places 30 to 21 with Tatsuki Fujimoto's short story collection 22 to 26. And this week it did 27,000, bringing its total to 73,000. And if I'm not mistaken, he has like a collection of short stories that is coming as well. That is probably going to, I'm imagining, be the final collection of short stories, because I mean, how much longer till Chainsaw Man? And I hope he is simultaneously working on Chainsaw Man too. I hope he's not just like having that in the back burner, like not even worried about about it as he's doing these short stories. Because again, a lot of these are old ones, but I remember we just covered maybe a month ago on Forever News here that he actually is penning some new ones. He was like trying to get some new assistants and whatnot to work on some short stories, some one-shots. And yeah, I just hope he's working on Chainsaw Man 2, because you have all this ample time to write something great, prepare it all, and yeah, if you're just wasting time on these short stories. Then 20 through 11, Tokyo Revengers Volume 24. Again, I want to say that was the latest one released, with 27,000 this week. Still going, man. When was this shit released? This was released in September, September 17th, and it is still top 20. Tokyo Revengers, fam. Though most of the back catalog already kind of fell off the charts. There's like a little volume here or there, but most of them fell off the charts. It is still swinging, baby. Jujutsu Kaisen, I believe it fell out of the top 10 at this point, but it's still number 15. And this came out October 4th. Wow. With 33,000 this week, 1.6 million copies so far. Awesome stuff there. And then top 10. Top 10 selling manga of the week. Let's see here. Dr. Stone 23. Okay, we covered that last week. Yeah, the biggest one, I guess, is Spy X Family Volume 8 with 177,000, bringing its total to 532,000, a little over half a million. Although some people are gonna say, yo, you ain't talking about Iruma-kun. That's doing good, 89,000. And yeah, not the craziest top 50 best-selling manga, but still some dope entries in there. And in general, it seems as though, yeah, we'll get the next numbers within the next couple days, so we'll get a more updated look at the manga sales top 50. But yeah, not that bad. Okay, people, next up, I found an interesting story. Now, this was on comicbook.com, and this was posted November 17, 2021, but I believe it was covering a story from a couple of months ago, if I'm not mistaken, regarding Asta's voice actor. But I found it pretty interesting because at the end of the day, we're a little bit of a drought right now, Black Clover news. I know Jump Fest of 2022, we're supposed to be getting something big, hopefully for the anime. So there's that, because it's getting a stage. But according to this, it said, Black Clover, Asta's actor is already practicing for the anime's comeback. Black Clover may have had a rough start with fans years ago, but the shonen has long outgrown its rocky reputation. In fact, Asta and Yuno are considered by many to be some of the best heroes in Shonen Jump. While the anime is on an extended break, all eyes are on Asta in hopes the show will return ASAP. And as it turns out, the actor behind Asta isn't letting his performance rust in the meantime. Gakuto Kajiwara informed fans as much during a recent interview with Crunchyroll. The actor, who is best known for voicing Asta, spoke with the site for Crunchyroll Expo. It was there where Kajiwara said he's already practicing for Black Clover's comeback, whenever it may be. He said, quote, I'm going to continue to better my understanding of my acting ability and of my roles. I'm going to get stronger and better myself until the time comes when I get to play Asta again, the voice actor shared. I'm applying everything I learned by playing Asta in my other roles, but I'm gonna just use everything gained there to become even stronger when I play him again. I will do everything I can to continue to move the hearts of people around the world. As you can see, Kajiwara has no plans of letting Asta go anytime soon. He might be working on other projects while Black Clover's on break, but nothing is going to stop him from revisiting the anime when the time comes. It's no surprise to hear fans are loving this news, but Kajiwara may have quite the wait ahead of him. Not really. In fact, as he probably said that, he probably was secretly recording, but of course, NDAs, you can't say anything, the Black Clover movie. You know what I'm saying? Because Black Clover movie has been in production for a little bit. They had the big announcement at the end of March of this year. And yeah, we're hopefully going to get maybe a trailer come Jump Festa. He's probably already been, I mean, it's not the TV anime return or anything like that, but he's probably been back for quite some time. And I wouldn't be surprised if, depending how they decide to go about it, Black Clover anime, hopefully they don't make the same mistakes that they made with Bleach. And what I mean by that is, right now, we're in 2022. We're going on 10 years. Next year makes 10 years since the Bleach anime ended. Bleach anime ended 2012 March, okay? So that would technically, wow, maybe that's what they're waiting for to do the Thousand Year Blood War. Maybe they're going to drop it in March. I don't know. That'd be crazy. But yeah, hopefully they don't make the same mistakes. Hopefully they learn from their mistakes of like, come on, fam, you're making the fans wait. I mean, it might be lucrative in a sense, because Bleach right now is at a high that it hasn't had in a long time in terms of anticipation, and people love that one-shot manga chapter that came out. So in that aspect, it worked out. But Black Clover, I don't know. I feel like it would be a big mistake to wait. Eventually, I feel like the fan base won't be as passionate as Bleach, because Black Clover has never sold nowhere close to as well as Bleach has sold. So the quicker they come back with the anime, the TV anime, I feel the better. It's just really, like I've said before, the movie. The movie has to do extremely well, or well enough to meet the expectations of Jump, so they can say, you know what? Let's bring it back. And I hope to God that if they do decide to bring it back, Do it as a seasonal, whether it be like there's one big final season to wrap everything up, 24 episodes, or a couple of seasons, whatever it is, I would prefer it to be that way instead of, you know, just coming back and it's a weekly thing and it might go and on break again and get canceled again. Like, hey, there's hope for a bunch of different outcomes. I mean, remember Fairy Tail? Fairy Tail had a couple of different times where the anime stopped, came back. It was almost like it was seasonal in a way, then it stopped again. So there's a possibility it could go that direction with Black Clover, but again, we'll know within a couple of weeks of what's happening, at the very least with the film, and then we can go from there. And shout outs to Asta's voice actor. You've come a long way from the days of yelling, fam. Okay, people, moving forward, we got a small little tidbit of My Hero Academia anime news for season 6, because they released a visual for the upcoming season, and it's of Asta next to Shigaraki, Tomura, and I am gonna lie, these visuals look gorgeous. Deku, the lighting, the coloring, everything just looks flawless. Likewise with Shigaraki, and this, if they don't botch it, if they don't decide, hey, we're gonna do a film that is not really necessary, but we're gonna do one, which unfortunately I think they are, because remember there was that little leak that like, yo, they got a 10-year plan of My Hero Academia films. I wouldn't be surprised if there's another one already in the works, and that will really be a shame, because they should not play with this season. This season of My Hero Academia could potentially be the Marine Ford of My Hero Academia and boost its popularity beyond belief. It should be that. That should be what happens right here with My Hero Academia, opposed to what we've gotten with the last couple seasons. Season 4, a lot of people were very disappointed with some of the stuff between Overhaul and all that. And then season 5... they absolutely botched the My Villain Academia stuff. No denying that. So I'm scared, because this is, in the manga, this is the best arc of My Hero Academia right here. It was number 2, My Villain Academia. Number 1, this arc, season 6. But if they don't do it right, it's going to be a long day for My Hero Academia fandom. I ain't going to lie. If they ruin this shit, I'm going to be very brutal about it. Because after that, it's like, there's no going back. Studio Bones, I know that My Hero Academia movie money is beautiful. Don't mess this up, please. But at the very least, we can say that these key visuals look really good, and they look like they're anime-esque. Maybe they're shots from some of the episodes that they're working on right now. And either way, I'm betting... when did My Hero Academia season just end? It just ended not that long ago, right? A few months ago. We'll probably hear something maybe like summer or fall of 2022. That's, I'm guessing, the earliest we would get it, because, you know, they usually take about a year in between each season. I've always loved the release schedule for My Hero. I always thought that was something that ushered in a different generation as well, of instead of getting ongoing, we got seasonal every year for a Shonen Jump title, and it's worked pretty freaking well. My Hero Academia manga sales at that have been nothing but upward and incline instead of a decline like most series. So again, yeah, this is so far all we have, and if it looks like this constantly on a consistent basis, we're in good money, because again, this season deserves nothing but that. And I also think they might not botch it like what they did with My Villain Academia, just because this has a lot of the heroes involved, and the heroes make money. Like, the villains of My Hero Academia don't make money over there in Japan, because people aren't that interested. The heroes do, so we gotta wait and see. And then also, while we're talking about My Hero Academia, somebody had pointed out that My Hero Academia's author, Kohei Horikoshi, which I want to say he's the most followed mangaka on Twitter, just hit 2 million followers over on Twitter. Definitely go check him out. From time to time, he drops some interesting art over there, and it's just always an interesting treat to see an author be that active and interactive with their fans, especially when he's at the top. When it comes to the West, My Hero Academia was the number one selling manga of 2020, so yeah, that's a pretty big deal. Hopefully they don't botch this shit, though. I just gotta stress that again. I know I'm going backward, but yeah, this is a very, very important arc. Okay, people, next up, while we're talking about Goliaths from Shonen Jump, some of the big heavy hitters, we got a couple of pieces of Jujutsu Kaisen news. For starters, let's talk about the reveal of the cover for Volume 18. On the cover of Volume 18 is Hakari, so these are the first chapters beginning before we really get into the knee-deep stuff of the Culling Game, and I ain't gonna lie, it looks fire yet again. Like, Jujutsu Kaisen just has some of the best, most interesting covers out of all the shit that comes out of Shonen Jump. It's like, you can tell that whoever does these, which I'm guessing it's Gege, although how the hell do you got time to do something this detailed? Well, I guess, you know, you got 3 months, and if you know what's going to be the basis, the main character, yeah, I guess you get this done in 3 months, and obviously it's Gege's art, but yeah, this looks flawless. I ain't gonna lie, it looks gorgeous, and I have no doubt in my mind that this is going to sell pretty well. I don't know if it's going to sell better than the previous volume just because Hakari wasn't seemingly well received. At the very least over here in the West, a lot of people weren't really hype off of those chapters. So yeah, that's going to be a toss-up on whether or not it'll sell better than the previous volume. But then again, also around the time that this comes out, we got the film in the wings. You know what I'm saying? We got Jujutsu Kaisen Zero coming out on Christmas Eve, if I'm not mistaken, the 24th. So that might help to boost it immensely, not to mention the adult film coming out the day after. A lot of people were trying to say, yo, Fenev, you know you secretly want to watch that shit. Leave me alone. Mind your business. But dope stuff there again. Cover of 18 looks dope, and I'll probably get it whenever it comes over here to the States in 100 million years. But that's neither here nor there. Another big milestone hit for Jujutsu Kaisen, because again, like I've been saying throughout this episode, Jujutsu Kaisen is more than likely going to be the number one selling manga of 2021. Sold millions upon millions. I think the year opened, if I'm not mistaken, with the second half of Jujutsu Kaisen. Like, that was the last 12 or so episodes of the season that aired, so it kind of still had a lot of flame coming into 2021, which helped immensely, because according to this, it says Jujutsu Kaisen has reached 60 million copies in circulation. Jujutsu Kaisen manga to have 60 million copies in circulation as of December 25th. Shueisha reported on Monday that as of the release of the 18th volume of Gege Akutami's Jujutsu Kaisen manga on December 25th, oh, perfect timing, yeah, that shit is gonna sell very, very well with the movies, and that, yeah, the manga will have 60 million copies in circulation, including print and digital copies, as well as copies not yet sold. The manga's circulation has jumped 710% in the 15 months since the anime premiered in October 2020. The manga had 8.5 million in early October 2020. Yeah, I remember very vividly, because they were like, oh, we want to try to hit 10 million by the time the anime comes out. They fell a little short, not by much, to be honest with you, 8.5 million. And then right by almost the end of October, it went from 8.5 and sold another 1.5, bringing it to 10 million on October 29th. Then it also went by December 16th from 10 million to 15 million. In a couple of months it sold another 5 million copies. Then it hit 20 million January 13th, less than a month later, another 5 million. Then 2 weeks later it was 25 million. Then February 9th, 30 million. March 4th, 35 million. March 31st, 40 million. You can start seeing once the anime dipped out, that's when you see a little bit of a slowdown, just a smidge, from March to April, 45 million. April to June, 50 million. Like right there, that was, I want to say, the spring season is when the anime ended. And then you see, like, it took from April to June to get that extra 5, and then June to September, and now it's been that way for a little bit now. So yeah, big congrats. It says, of course, Akutami launched the manga in Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump magazine in March of 2018, and it really didn't pick up steam until, I don't want to say until the anime came out, because again, we had almost 10 million copies before the anime even dropped, but it was, I want to say, somewhere in 2019-ish, about a year later, that's when people started really believing in it, having faith in it, knowing that, oh, it lasted a year, it might not get the axe. So there's that as well. And again, sales picked up, but I want to say they already knew that it was going to be a success, considering the fact that it was by volume 2 that they were already in talks of getting an anime adaptation. Where they do that at? Jujutsu Kaisen. So yeah, big shout outs to Jujutsu Kaisen, 60 million by December 25th. Film, novel, manga volume, like a lot of money coming at the last week or so of the year. And I know Shonen Jump are like, money. Oh, real quickly, before we leave the Jujutsu Kaisen stories, one more thing I wanted to throw in there, that in case you don't remember, it was probably already maybe 5 months ago, 6 months ago. It's been a little bit at the very least since it was announced that, or it was straight up removed, Lost in Paradise, the outro or the ending song from Jujutsu Kaisen season 1 that everybody loved. It was on streaming platforms everywhere, and I remember one day I'm clicking on Spotify, I'm like, why isn't it playing? What happened? And there was a big thing where they took down the song and a lot of their music, something to do with, I want to say the band was like breaking up or retiring or something like that. It was a mess, but yeah, it was unable to be listened to on a lot of streaming platforms until just a few days ago. It is back, baby. Lost in Paradise. I have been listening to it, and I've been listening to a few songs off this EP. So good. So if you're a big fan of that song and that band, they are back, listenable on the streaming platforms, and I'm a very, very happy man. Yes, indeed. I don't know. Lost in Paradise puts me in a great mood for whatever reason. Shout outs to that song. Shout outs to the fact that it is back on, baby. Okay, people, moving forward, we got the latest Shonen Jump author comments. For starters, we got, let's take a look at the new series by Daiki Ihara, Protect Me, Shugomaru, a series in Jump. What a dream come true. I wouldn't care if I went bankrupt right now. Sorry, that's going too far. Okay, fam, really? I wouldn't care about it. Okay, alrighty. Oh, I know, it's your dreams, I know. And I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, Protect Me, Shigemaru, that's the same author that was doing that One Piece spinoff series. So, yeah, kudos to you. And yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I know. When you reach your dreams, it be like that sometimes, but the whole point of getting in Jump is to, I mean, not the whole point, but one of the things is, oh, you want to make money, you want to make a living. Why would you say, I don't care if I'd go bankrupt right now? You're going backwards, fam. You're hustling backwards. Relax. Moving forward, we got the creator of One Piece, Eiichiro Oda. He said, the anime is now at 1,000 episodes as well. Thank you so much to Toei Animation. It's an amazing thing. It is. How many anime reach 1,000 episodes? It's like Detective Conan, One Piece, and then a bunch of kiddie shit. So, big, big congrats yet again to One Piece. I don't want to keep on because I've done it already the last couple days. I've been just like, congrats, One Piece. Congrats, One Piece. Next up, another person that's having a great year, Gege Akutami, author of Jujutsu Kaisen. What's with this potato? It's delish. Is it because it's cut differently? It was a lily bulb. I love me some potatoes as well, mate. I love me French fries. I love a little bit of mashed potatoes. I love all sorts of potatoes, mate. I believe in a previous life I've owned a little bit of a potato farm. Yes, that accent is terrible. Then, I just wanted to add in there as well, even though it's chapter 2. We got Yuji Kaku, author of Ayashimon. It's chapter 2, and I'm already fretting over what to write in this space. Again, it be like that, especially when you have deadlines. I can only imagine how terrifying it must be to be in Jump. You got a week to write, draw the best shit of your life, and make sure there's no errors, make sure there's no continuity issues, make sure you set things up for later down the road, but also leave room so that if it gets canceled, you can wrap it up. Like, a lot of pressure. But I think that Yuji Kaku is going to be able to get it done, because Hell's Paradise is a big one. It's getting an anime. Ayashimon has potential already. Let's see if it can survive the axe, though. Shonen Jump is there with the axe like the fucking Grim Reaper. Like, I'm ready. Just say the word. Say the word. Say, you said the word. No. We didn't say the... Oh, okay. How about now? Hajime Komoto, author of Marshall. I love sleeping. That's why I love spring. I actually hate sleeping. I love the feeling of sleeping, but I actually hate it because I feel like I'm wasting time. Like, that time that I'm sleeping, I could be writing some music. I could be working on my next story, my next manga. I could be making content for you guys. I could be watching something that I could make content of or just enjoy. I could be reading something that I could make content or enjoy. I could be doing so many other things, but you do need to recharge your batteries. And yeah, Hajime Komoto, author of Marshall. Kohei Horikoshi, author of My Hero Academia. It's getting really cold now, so I just want to spend my time listening to Syrup16G. I have no idea who the hell they are, but it is getting brick out there. I ain't gonna lie, I'll be a little bit like, man, I gotta bring out the trench coat. That's it. We're already at that time. Trench coat, come out. We got Boichi, artist of Dr. Stone. I wanted to see Dune one more time in IMAX, but the run ended before I got the chance. Too bad. Damn, that's a reminder. I really want to freaking see that film. Somebody that I really respect told me I should check that film out. I gotta go see that film. Shit, I wonder if it's still in theaters. I don't know. I gotta look into that. I really want to see it. And actually, yeah, just told my niece and nephew I wanted to see a movie in theaters sometime soon. I might go see Dune this week if it's still in theaters. Then we got Yuto Suzuki, author of Sakamoto Days. I like winter because the food is good, the bed and hot springs feel great, and you get time off. Where they do that at? I make content every day. I work every day, fam. I'm just saying. Not to mention I'm a single dad, 24/7 job as well. Yeah, and I make music. Man, I'm actually in the lab right now. Woo, big spoiler alert on that. Hey, I'm working on some manga, my current manga, my next manga. Like, a lot is happening in here, my lord. And in the physical as well. Then we got Yuki Tabata, author of Black Clover. We put up Miyazaki Sensei's comment from last week on our studio wall, and my wife saw it and cracked up. I wonder what he's referring to. Is it something that we're going to be talking about later on in this episode? Might be. And yeah, people, those were the Shonen Jump author comments. Honestly, I had a real good time with these. These were some of the most relatable or enjoyable ones in a while. Big ups to all of them. And yeah, we're almost approaching the end of 2021. I believe it's December or somewhere in November, either last week of November or early December, where we start the next fiscal year of Shonen Jump. And it's been a ride. It's been a ride. Moving forward, a story that not the biggest story in the world, but something that is very important to me. Now, if you've ever heard of No Longer Human, there is a version of No Longer Human out there that you'll see up here on the screen that is the best version of this manga. And it has been for like almost 10 years now. Whenever it was like 2011, 2012, where I got my hands on these volumes, I read it for the first time. I was blown away. And since then, it's been in my top 10 best manga, short manga of all time, top five, probably number one, I don't know, but it's up there. It's a really incredibly deep, dark, messed up psychological story. It's not a horror story, although you could look at it that way, I guess, but it's been out of print and rare for a very long time. I myself am very grateful I bought those volumes back then. I've held on to those volumes, thank goodness, because it has been out of print until now. One of the hardest out of print manga ever is getting a new print edition. I can't believe it actually happened. No Longer Human Complete Edition by Usamaru Furuya, based on the novel by Osamu Dazai, in print English by Kodansha Manga in fall 2020. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not in bed with Kodansha or anything like that. I'm telling you, if you can handle some dark stories that is grounded very heavily to reality, but it's really, really messed up, and this is the type of manga I hope to be able to create someday, go read this. No Longer Human. Look, in case my editor forgets to put the picture on the screen, that shit right there. If you see that cover, and it's only three volumes, I highly, highly recommend. And they're doing, again, like a new print edition. I highly recommend go pick it up, read it. You will be blown away. You will be destroyed, heartbroken, distraught, all sorts of stuff. It is incredible. Like, there's a couple of versions of the story. Get this one. This is the one. If you can get your hands on it, do it. And again, I want to stress, I'm not being sponsored or paid to say this. This is coming from FNEV. Next up, just a small update on the story that we covered, I want to say, in the last episode of FNEV News, regarding Phantom Seer's author with a new work. It says here, debut color page of a new one-shot titled Sekai no Owari no Penfriend by Phantom Seer artist Kento Matsuda and Sekai Iwata on the Shonen Jump Plus web service. And the art looks interesting. I ain't gonna lie, I kind of looked for a second there like something out of Fire Punch or some shit from the author of Chainsaw Man, Tatsuki Fujimoto. But yeah, hopefully this does good. Hopefully he can make some noise over there. Honestly, the fact that they're giving him a series in Jump Plus means that they want to keep this dude around. And again, it's a one shot, so it's not like it's going to be a full on series. But if it gets enough reception, they'll turn this shit into a series. And I don't know, man, I really want to read it. Phantom Series just had so much love behind it, and it's still, to this day, a mystery what happened. But yeah, people, again, Sekai no Owari no Penfriend by Phantom Seer artists, pretty cool stuff. Moving forward, as of the recording of this video, it has been released, but in case you don't know, there was some new DLC coming to the Demon Slayer Hinokami Chronicles game. It was Suzumaru and Yahaba DLC, and there was like some character trailers, hopefully they're up on the screen as well, showcasing, you know, a little bit of the gameplay of them. But also, there was apparently a 60 frames per second edition of the game that was going to be like a DLC update, where offline you could play 60 frames per second, online and still for the user experience only going to be 30 frames per second, but offline you could play 60 fps. And that's actually a pretty cool thing. I wish it would have been online as well. And if they're worried about, like, you know, the compatibility, maybe they could only match you if you're like a 60 frames per second player with another 60 frames per second player. Like, if you're PS5, they only match you with PS5 players, etc., etc. Like, that would have been a big thing, but unfortunately it's only going to be for offline, and some people were put off by it. Like, I thought I could play online, that's the whole reason. The characters is, like, again, not the biggest characters in the world, and they're just holdovers because the anime, I want to say we're about a week or two away from the real season 2 starting with Uzui, the next of the Hashira and all that jazz. So we'll probably get a big DLC, not only character but probably map and everything, once those 11 episodes air for the remainder of this season. And yeah, just wanted to throw that in there because Hinokami Chronicles a little bit more to the game that should have had all of this to begin with. Okay, people, next up, we got a little bit of insight into the upcoming episodes of the Boruto anime, courtesy of Organic Dinosaur over on Twitter. They said, provisional titles for the Boruto anime through December, originally published in a TV guide. Episode 227, I want to say we already had this one. It said, Team 7 and their final mission, and that'll be out December 5th. I'm calling cap on it. Their final mission, unless, like, they're just not going to be, like, you know, a group anymore, because considering in the Boruto manga they haven't really been running as a team. I mean, I guess during the Boro mission, that was like the last time we really seen, like, all of that, you know, structure of the three-man cell and all that jazz. That shit is over with, honestly. Like, we have right now some whole different thing going on in the manga that's not really about Team 7 or anything like that. So yeah, I mean, it might actually be their final mission in terms of, like, we're not having any of that, even though there's like a weird push about Kawaki being a genin. So yeah, I don't know. Then episode 228, Kawaki, a path towards being a shinobi. It's weird, like, they're doing all of this, but I guess these are the elements that they leave for the anime to do, because the manga just doesn't focus on any of this stuff. It doesn't focus really on, like, oh, being a chunin, a genin, or anything like that. It doesn't focus on the next generation, and that does sound kind of interesting, and I gotta give credit, like, you know, I made the video the other day, but I gotta give credit that the anime-only stuff of Boruto has not been, for the most part, there's an episode or two, but for the most part, has not been abysmal, has not been the dark ages or anything like that. And if they're doing things like this, again, Kawaki trying to be a genin, a shinobi, it's adding more characterization and more character development to the relationship between Kawaki, Boruto, Kawaki, Naruto, and just in general, adding more to Kawaki as a character. So long as they don't tamper with him too much to where things that happen later on down the road don't make sense, this is going to be dope. And again, in the manga, I want to say we've seen him already kind of looking like he went through some of this stuff. Then we got episode 229, Violating Orders, out December 19th. I'm imagining that's Kawaki. Probably they put him on his first mission of some sorts to be a genin, and maybe he did something wrong. Sounds about right for Kawaki's character. And then episode, oh my god, you know, now that I think about it, if you haven't seen the latest episode, you should go watch it, Sadala versus Chocho. But maybe they're going to have, that would be fire, maybe that was the setup right there, maybe they're going to have Shinki training Kawaki of some sorts. Maybe they're going to bring him, like, yo, you're kind of like him, he'll probably listen to you, you know, y'all very similar in character, why don't you go and train this Kawaki kid so that he could be a genin? That would be fire. Wow. And then episode 230, A Wish. That's out December 26th, the day after Christmas. A wish for some canon material, mate. A wish for the time skip. What is this wish going to be, lad? But yeah, people, those are the Boruto episodes post the new Chunin exams. And it seems like, again, it's going more in a Kawaki-esque direction. And I'm fine with it. I don't know. It's like, okay. These episodes haven't been egregious so far. Minus, again, I got to keep on insisting that Iwabi episode was terrible. But I'm okay. Let's keep going. Okay, people. Big news in the anime world. If you have no idea who Hayao Miyazaki is, first of all, are you really an anime fan? No. But he's basically legendary anime director, Studio Ghibli, all that jazz. He's been retired for quite some time, I want to say. But it says here, Hayao Miyazaki will return to direct one final film for Studio Ghibli, a fantasy on a grand scale. And yeah, it's crazy that they're actually teaching Hayao Miyazaki in schools. My niece told me the other day, she freaking sends me a text message, hey, who's this Hayao Miyazaki guy that they're teaching us in school? And I'm like, oh my god, all my experience in anime and manga shit, all this nerd stuff, I can finally put it to good use. And I just start writing like a whole bunch of shit to her, like, oh, he's a legend, Studio Ghibli, blah, 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 so that she could sound like super smart in class or whatever, because even though she'd been brought up on anime and manga, I'd never really dove into, like, hey, so let me tell you about this director and stuff like that. But that's crazy that Miyazaki's gotten to that point where they're teaching literature stuff about him in school. And yeah, his final return, that's going to be one for the books. That's going to be one to go to the theater and actually see, you know, his exit from the stage, so to speak. Hayao Miyazaki, legend. Even though sometimes he can be pretty harsh with his words, but yeah. Okay, people, and last story of the episode. This was something that I was like, oh, I want to cover it, because in case you never heard of Akame ga Kill, that was a very, very controversial manga back in the day. A lot of people either loved it or hated it. It was almost unanimously criticized for the amount of death that it had in it, especially when the anime came out. It was like, every freaking week, a character that you loved is dropping like a fly. Well, at the same time, it was also entertaining, and the manga was better than the anime, and it was really weird, because the mangaka told the anime studio what he was going to do with the story, and the anime studio went ahead and did his story, and then he came with it after. It was really, really bizarre, but the author is back with a new work. It's been a little bit, and it's actually getting an anime. It says here, Mato Sehi no Slave Battle Fantasy Manga gets TV anime. Shueisha announced on Friday that writer Takahiro and artist Yohei Takemura's Mato Sehi no Slave, Slave of the Magic Capital's Elite Troops manga, is inspiring a TV anime. Yuya Hirose and Akari Kito are starring the anime as Yuki Wakura and Kyoka Uzen, respectively. The people who did Trinity 7, ooh, that was not a good one, and I'm not sure about Magical Girl Lyrical Nanaho White Album, but Trinity 7 was bad. Seven Arcs is producing the anime. The battle fantasy is set in a world where a demonic gate has unleashed monsters known as Shuki. A special peach tree is able to give special powers, but only to women. The story begins when a down-on-his-luck boy named Yuki Wakura meets Uzen Kyoka, a girl who has gained the power of the peach and is the captain of the 7th Anti-Demon Squad. Takahiro and Takamura launched the manga and Shueisha Shonen Jump Plus manga website in January 2019. Shueisha will publish the manga's 9th compiled book on December 3rd. And of course, they ended their Kamen Ga Kill manga back in December 2017. And they had a Kamen Ga Kill Zero. And I want to say there was even a spinoff. Yeah, it says here, Takahiro and Shouka launched the Hinowaga Crush. And I want to say Hinowaga Crush or Hinowaga Crush was a spinoff to Akame. And that's what I initially thought when I read this article. I was like, oh shit, this must be the spinoff. But this is, again, something totally different. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Akame Ga Kill, for better or worse, it did kick up a lot of dust. And the manga was really, really cool. Especially S, Death. That was my gal. So yeah, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I will be checking this one out. Although, not the greatest studio. The studio that did Trinity 7 is behind this. And again, Akame Ga Kill was a lot of depth. So I'm expecting a lot of deaths. Oh, mate, don't kill the peach tree, my lord. But yeah, people, those are all the stories we have for today's episode. I am curious what you guys think. Your favorite story of the episode, best story of the episode, something that shocked you, something that maybe I didn't talk about that you would love to see me talk about, a different type of story. Maybe it's not anime, manga related, but you're like, oh, I want to see Feneb's take on this. Definitely let me know. I'm always open to suggestions, always open to expanding the show in whatever directions that kind of see fit that I enjoy talking about. But that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed. If you liked anything I had to say or enjoyed the video, drop me a like. I'd greatly appreciate it. And if you want more from me, make sure to subscribe. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. Hit that bell to get all notifications. And if you want to follow any of my other social media, links are in the description below. I'm Feneb World. And as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule.
Anime and manga
for life, boy.
Have an awesome day. Peace in, and you guys just watched another episode of
Whatever News!
Have an awesome day.